What's shaking, Red Nation? This is Jeremy Brenner for another episode of The Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake'em of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Another Rockets loss tonight, the 59th of the season. But like every game in this four-game homestand, Michael Brown, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I was having some green room issues before.
All good, all good. We're here now. Initial thoughts.
Good for Silas, man. That's exactly what I wanted to see from Silas about 65 games ago. He showed emotion. First of all, always a pleasure to be on with you. I can't tell you how long I've wanted to see that from Silas. And I don't care if you want to call it boiled over. I don't care. He showed a backbone tonight and he stood up for his guys. And I love that.
Yeah.
So those calls were egregious.
So to preface that, for those who didn't watch the game or didn't watch the end of the game, so there were about two or three consecutive possessions where the Rockets were on the wrong end of a pretty bad call. Silas goes from the bench to the opposite side of the floor, and he gets ejected. I want to say it's the first ejection he's had in his – I can't remember a time where he's been ejected. It might have been one time last season, but I don't remember these individual games like I do last season because they just are not games I want to remember. But, yeah, we saw a different side of Silas tonight for sure. And it was an interesting one. And another thing, too, like the Rockets lose this game 139-132, but they gave up 116 points in the first three quarters. And look, Minnesota is the best offensive team since January 1st, so that's part of it. But the Rockets had every reason to mail this one in the fourth quarter, and they chose not to. They were within – 8 points. They had a three possession game with like 3 minutes to go. They had a shot at this one, Mike, despite being down, 20 plus for a chunk of the game.
Yeah, they fought. And I mean, that's all you can ask for this late in the season. And man, good for them. Good on Jalen. Jalen Green is going to be a superstar in this league.
Jalen Green, 31 points tonight, four consecutive games of 30 or more. It's getting to a point now where it's an expectation that he's going to get 20, 30 points. Yeah. And to see it as consistently as he's been is really gratifying to see. It's been special to watch for sure.
I was a little surprised. I don't know about you, unless I missed something. Why did Bruno Fernando not play tonight?
Because Alperen Şengün returned after his two-game absence from his contusion. He played pretty solid, 14 and 15 for him tonight. He had 10 he had a double-double in the first half. He also didn't get into foul trouble, which is something that was a problem for him early on in the season. So it was really good to see that he wasn't getting in that foul trouble. He did pick up two fouls at the end that were kind of suspect. Maybe should have been a foul on the other way, but he was able to – he had two fouls for – less than two fouls for most of the game tonight. And then Garuba got his backup minutes. He had 6 points off the bench, six boards for him. Decent night for Garuba. But mainly, like, the five-man lineup that I kind of want to discuss is the five-man lineup that I think is the most popular one among Rockets Twitter right now and – one that we've wanted to see for a while. So that starting five, Kevin Porter, well, I wouldn't say starting five necessarily, but just five, a closing five. Kevin Porter, 21 points tonight, 8 assists, 8 turnovers, which is a bit of a not a good night for him in that department, but a solid night for him. Obviously, we had Jalen 31, Şengün 14 and 15. KJ Martin had 11 points off the bench, but Josh Christopher, a 30 piece for Gup, Mike. 30 for Josh Christopher. What a night for him.
He's a fighter. And
fighter's a very good word to use for him.
You know, he's the type of guy that I've felt this way about Karl Anthony Towns for a while. Like, he's a fake tough guy. So is D'Angelo Russell. Anthony Edwards is a nice player. Like, Patrick Beverley is the heart and soul of that team. He's that type of guy that you need on your roster that won't back down from anybody. Josh Christopher will not back down from anybody at any time over anything. And I think that's what I like so much about what the Rockets did tonight. And I'm sure we'll get into that in a few. But specifically about Christopher, I mean, 30 points, but also 11 of 14 from the field, including 3 of 5 from the three-point line. Yeah, and he was a positive plus minus, you know? And he obviously he's going to be a big part of the Rockets' future. He had a great game tonight. KJ Martin, I thought, played really well. But Christopher, probably one of his three best games of the year, if not his best game of the year, definitively.
Mm-hmm.
I would say.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
And the thing is with the Rockets is like, the offense is not going to be the problem with this team.
No, not going to be the problem with this team.
Defense is the problem. And I get it. Yes, Minnesota, the number one offense since January 1st. You still gave up almost 60% from the field tonight for Minnesota. Not ideal, Mike. And it's very hard to win basketball games when you allow the other team to shoot nearly 60% from the field.
Well, 80 points and a half is unacceptable. And we know this, right? Like, we know going into next year, not to deviate too much from tonight's game, but a lot of what we're going to talk about now has to do with next year and beyond. It's got to start. There was one play that basically summed up the season for me, and it was when Kevin Porter Jr. in the first half got beat by Anthony Edwards at the top of the key. He just gave just unacceptable effort trying to stop the ball, and there was no rim protection. That's what a guy defending the rim can help with so much, which is what this team needs, is just somebody at the rim to challenge shots. They don't even have that right now.
Yeah, the thing with Minnesota and what makes their offense so good is that they use their defense to put them into strong positions in offense. They forced 24 turnovers tonight, and they scored 24 points off of those turnovers. 17 points in the fast break. So they have good, like, their three-point shooters have improved lately. You know, Jordan McLaughlin, who struggled throughout the year, he made 3 of 4 tonight from three. Jalen Noel, like, these guys, like, the thing with Minnesota, though, is, like, I don't think McLaughlin and Noel are really going to be part of that about that postseason rotation. I don't know a whole lot about Minnesota, to be honest with you. Not someone that can talk about them like I do the Rockets, obviously, but that's the thing with them is they have Russell, Towns, and Ant Edwards that can all go for 30 on any given night. And tonight, he had 33. Towns had 28. Like, I understand. Like, it doesn't really surprise me that they have the number one offense in the league because of the ways that they can beat you. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. And they don't need to play that much defense because they want to beat you in a track meet because they know that they can beat you in that. And for the Rockets, like Minnesota is a good team, Mike. And I know that you might hate me for saying that or whatever, but, you know, they're a decent team. I don't know if they're going to make it past the first round, but I think they'll give whichever team they play in the first round a decent series. I'd say probably – I think they can push a team like Golden State to 6 games.
Golden State
is actually a really good matchup for them because they have no size whatsoever. Karl-Anthony Towns will feast in that series if that's the case. And Beverly is a decent – like, you're not going to stop Steph Curry – but you get a guy like Beverly on Curry. I mean, I'm kind of going off a tangent. This is a Houston Rockets podcast. Let's bring it back.
Yeah.
To what?
No,
we
but
got
but here. it's also with the, you know, in that example, it's all about Steph Curry's health at this point.
Yeah.
But until proven otherwise, Edward, you know, Minnesota has done nothing in the last 10 years. They're not. What am I trying to say? Like, yeah, they're a team that I could see pushing. You know, whoever they're playing to 6 games, possibly.
But to bring it back to the Rockets tonight in tonight's game, the reason why the Rockets are the Wolves are a bad matchup for the Rockets is because they don't really have much of an answer for Towns inside.
Right.
Ant and someone like Anthony Edwards, in my eyes, is very similar to Jalen Green, just someone that is really difficult to stop. So they have that. And then Russell's a guy that, you know, so like I understand why that is, but also like Minnesota left the door open for Houston tonight, and they almost, and the Rockets nearly did something with it.
Control your turnovers, you win the game tonight. I mean, turnovers.
Or play not hot dog water defense.
There it is. Oh, my God. By the way, offseason task number one, Dream Shake hot dog water shirts. I'm in.
An idea in the works.
But I mean, you made 16 threes.
The Rockets are the
tonight.
Worst defense in the league. This was the best offense in the league against the worst defense in the league. All the Rockets have to do to become a play-in team is be in the top 20 in defense. I mean, yeah. 20 teams make it to at least the play-in. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but like we're talking about just a slight improvement. That's what needs improvement. The offense, I think, is at a point right now where it can be pretty steady. And I do think that there is room for improvement even on offense as well, which is crazy. But the defense is what needs to improve. And with Kevin Porter being where he is, like, I have no doubts about Kevin Porter, Jalen Green, Josh Christopher. Like, when the Rockets are good, that will be the guard rotation.
No,
that should be the guard rotation.
Well,
that should be the guard rotation. I don't – like, those should be the three guards. You need to have at least two of them on the court at all times. Sometimes put all three of them out there. They work. They work together really well. The chemistry with this team should not be left unnoticed. It really is a strong chemistry. And if they bring in a guy like Banchero, who already is boys with KPJ, it's only going to get better. And that, to me, like, whoever they get in this draft is going to be super important, because they need someone that whoever they bring in this year is just their primary duty should be defense, because that's what this team needs more than anything right now. The offense is there. They scored .132 tonight. Like, and look, Minnesota's not a great defensive team, so that's not the best example to say on it, but just defense, man. They need more defense. And that's why a guy like Garuba is worth keeping around too. You know, keeping like defensive-minded players are who the team needs to add. Once those guys come in, it's a wrap from here.
Well, yeah, I get where you're coming from. And that's why, like, the scary part to – not scary. What's the word I'm trying to say? Like, you have a guy like that. Like, you have a guy like David Nwaba already on your roster.
Yeah, but Mike, you're not like David Nwaba.
Well, no. But what I'm going to say is that he doesn't fit the timeline. But those are the types of guys that you need. High-effort, defensive-minded type of guys. And that's why –
Jayshon Tate.
Jayshon Tate is one of those guys. Now, I will say this, Jerry, like, he didn't start tonight. I think going into next year, it's a wrap for me unless you upgrade that position. KJ Martin should be one of your starting forwards next season. Tate needs to come off the bench.
See,
if you're going to be bad defensively, like this year, you're terrible defensively, and I love Tate. Tate is still going to be an integral part of your team, but look at the numbers, man. I mean, KJ ended up playing 27 minutes, and Tate played 21 minutes. And Tate wasn't in foul trouble.
Yeah,
he only had three fouls.
The reason why that happened is because Silas kept with that unit in the fourth quarter that brought them back into the game. So that's why KJ had more minutes there than Tate.
Which I like. I mean, that's the right minute allocation.
I think Tate could fit in either the starting lineup or – in the bench role. The starting lineups have been pretty good. Like we've seen the Rockets the last couple of games. I'm like trying to, you know, like in the first quarters against the Kings, they played really well in the first quarter. I don't know if that's a Tate versus Martin kind of thing. I have to look more into it. I know a lot of people are clamoring for KJ to be that starting four, and I'm not necessarily against it, but I also have to or be the starting three. I just think it's like a matchup thing too. Like, I think like some matchups, like against like Cleveland, where they play with three bigs, I think KJ makes a lot of sense instead of Tate, and Tate comes off the bench as your first guy off the bench. But at the same time, like, I don't necessarily know if it really matters that much, because I do think that Tate and KJ are in very similar positions. So, like, I don't want this to become another, like, Demo versus Terrence Jones kind of debate. Because I really don't think it's that. I think they're both better than both of those guys were. But, that's fair. Mean, it's the point, though. Well, that's honestly kind of what the debate is in a way, because you're looking at who do you have as your fifth starter, and both guys have upside. The reason why, like, last season when I was kind of team Tate starting, and for most of this season, it's because KJ's a guy that has proven to be like a high energy guy that can give you a boost off the bench. And I think that's what Silas sees in him, is he's a guy that can give you a real spark plug off the bench. He could do that in the starting lineup as well. But like, to me, like, I don't necessarily know if there's that much of a difference, Mike. I really don't. But obviously you want KJ there, so I'm going to give you the mic, and you're going to stand up on the soapbox and be the voice of the fans, as you are, and explain why KJ should be the starting four.
So one thing that you just said is both guys have upside. I actually don't believe that to be the case with Jayshon Tate. I think Jayshon Tate has hit his ceiling of what he is in the league. And I
not
think,
defensively. And that's why yeah. You start Jayshon Tate, is because he is a superior defender.
But it's also, you can deploy. I agree with you. I think both guys are deployable in certain situations. But I think we've only scratched the surface of KJ Martin.
Yeah, they both have upside, but KJ has more upside. I would agree with you a lot.
Yeah, and that's why, to me, next year is so important about improving at the margins. And what I mean by that is, you're obviously terrible protecting the rim. Improve with a guy, you're improving at the margin there. What are you getting from I know you hate, you know, putting, you know, titles on positions, but at your forward spot, right? At your three and at your four. I think the Rockets have been okay this year. They have not been great. How can you improve at the margins with those guys?
But you go and you draft the guy, and they're probably going to draft the guy pretty high.
Exactly. So look at that, man. So think about if you improve with – if KJ is a more impressive starter than Jayshon Tate, which I believe to be the case. If you look at the – and I hate being numbers guy. I don't believe in the numbers in a lot of cases. I passed the eyeball test. KJ would thrive in a starting role with the guys on the court that you would have. You know, imagine putting KJ next to a guy like a Jabari Smith or a Paolo Banchero. There's going to be so many more open shots. Look how much he's improved his three-point shot this year. KJ is no slouch defensively. He's a decent rebounder. Jayshon defensively is superior to KJ, but his offensive output is so limited right now that I'd rather take the chance with KJ.
But that's another reason to start Jayshon Tate, is because sometimes you need, like, if Jayshon Tate's out there, that allows Kevin Porter to cook. That allows Jalen Green to cook. If you put Jayshon Tate in the bench, then you force him to be more of a, like, you sacrifice the defense that you get in the second unit, and you supply less offense in that second unit. The fact that Josh Christopher is here, though, does change things for me. Yep. I think Josh Christopher, look, this is a very good problem to have. I really don't think that there is a wrong answer to either way. I don't think the Rockets are like that much better or worse either way. But I am curious, because I will do a little bit more research on the topic, I think, Mike, during the off season, and some of our last episodes here before the season wraps up.
Real quick, you brought up the fact that was going to be my last point, was Christopher being on the bench, to me, actually allows you to move Tate to that spot, because it's also not about
that offensive output,
getting the guys, you know, allowing more opportunities for your guards to cook, right? It's also, KJ is a much better cutter to the rim than Jayshon Tate is. Jayshon Tate gets a lot of his points by, and I love the spin move, but he's got to take the ball from the arc to the basket himself. KJ can create his own shot, you know, whether it's a dunk, whether it's on the, you know, on the fast break, whether it's, you know, hitting the outside shot.
I don't know. I mean, creating your own shot, I feel like Jayshon Tate does that better than KJ.
Well, I'm just using it as a whole, right? I think KJ offensively is superior to Tate in the sense that he's
KJ can do more things that Jayshon Tate cannot.
And I like having that those types of options in your starting lineup, especially if you can get a rim protector in the draft, which I think that they will. That's going to change so many things for this team going into next season.
I think if you get Chet and Chet ends up being your rim protector, I could see a scenario where you can put KJ in the starting. I'd feel more comfortable putting KJ in the starting lineup if you get a Chet. If you get Banchero, though, I like it, but I do think that you would need a little bit more defense in that starting five. So I would put Tate there. But again, it all comes down to matchups. It comes down to which five mesh together. And the draft pick does predicate a lot of that. I think that's why we can't really come up with a solid answer at this point, because the team is still a work in progress and we're still trying to figure out how this team is going to be next season. And we'll get answers to that in due time. But I think we've got it tonight. I really don't have much else on the docket, though. But we only have three more games, Mike. And, you know, this game on Tuesday, though, against Brooklyn might be the most important.
Why is that?
Well, it's Brooklyn. I don't particularly enjoy Brooklyn. Also, the Nets hold a lot of draft implications for the Rockets as well. With the Rockets holding the Nets pick this season, the Nets right now are 10th in the East, holding on to a play-in spot. The Rockets can hand them one more loss, keep them down there. Maybe it affects the draft standings. Who knows? But I think the Rockets are going to go in very, very motivated, especially considering how they lost this game tonight on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I just want them to win one of these last three. You know, I think, you know, the between the last show and tonight, I had to come to Jesus meeting about what you said internally with the win-loss column. Like, tonight, I saw it. I saw what you saw the other night. And at this point, I mean, you look at the league. The Rockets are 20-59. The Magic are 20-59. It's basically coming down to us in Orlando, right? For the worst pick, or for the number one pick in the draft.
Yes.
Best odds, right? And so if you're the Rockets, go win a game. Just win one of the last three, and I'm happy. If they end the season losing three in a row, it would just leave a really sour taste in my mouth.
OKC and Detroit both won tonight. So that gives even more of a cushion for the Rockets here. So basically the top three teams get the same amount of odds to the number one pick. That's not what we're looking at here. But the only difference between the number one slot and the number two slot, the number one slot, the floor is number five. So you have a top five pick no matter what. And the chances you end up in the top three hover around, I think it's 42%.
Yeah, it's the odds.
40%. So you had a 40% chance at the number one pick, or at a top three pick, if you're in the number one or the number two slot.
I think you also.
If you're the number two pick, there's a 20% chance you end up with the sixth pick, which is still a really good pick.
It's a good pick. I think if you're if you're a Rockets fan, if they end up with the worst record in the league, you have got, if you're looking on the positive side of the penny, you got to look at this thing and say, is there any way that the NBA will not give the Rockets a number one pick after last year being the worst team in the league by five games and not getting the number one pick?
It's all about those ping pong balls.
It's about the ping pong balls. I personally don't see it. If the Rockets end, yeah, if they end up with the worst record in the league, I will go on record saying right now there's no way in hell they don't get the number one pick in the draft.
It's a we'll see kind of thing. And because the thing is with the Rockets is like when it comes to the draft, I haven't really been like super focused on the top three only because we don't know where we're going to pick. Like we don't even know if we'll have a choice. Like if we end up with the number three pick, and like Detroit takes one of the guys and Orlando takes the second of the guys. And then the Rockets are basically just given the rest, like the third option. So then we don't even have to think about who's the best fit here because our pick is essentially going to be chosen by the two teams in front of us. And if we don't even get one of those picks, then it's like, well, all right, after the top three, let's see who we can look at. I like Keegan Murray personally for the Rockets, but that's totally, you know, my preference. But also at the same time, I haven't done a whole lot of research. So that's what we're looking at in the offseason. We're going to get a lot of talk. We're already talking about offseason plans, Mike and I, so we're really excited about what we've got in store for you guys. But we're going to park the rocket ship for tonight. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. You can also head to our Facebook page, give us a like over there, and head to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. And we'll be back Tuesday. I am on deck for Tuesday. Mike's got the night off. But Mike, before you go, be sure to follow him on Twitter at
BSW_MB.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. NER. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.